Castle takes the snap, whips it out to Cordero Patterson to the right side, gets a great block from Matt Asiata, and Cordero gets loose at the 40 to the Ravens 50.
Oh,
and
he's Cordero gone.
Patterson is gone! Wow! It's a 79-yard screen pass touchdown. Cordero Patterson.
It's X's and O's with head coach Mike Zimmer on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. X's and O's is presented by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Now, from Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Good evening. What's going on? Indeed, Paul Allen, voice of the Minnesota Vikings, with Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer. Each and every Wednesday evening, it is X's and O's with Mike Zimmer, presented by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Defensive line coach Andre Patterson coming up a little later. And we thank the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings for taking time out of his busy schedule to join us weekly to chat Minnesota Vikings football, currently undefeated Minnesota Vikings football. Congratulations on your first regular season win, sir, and congratulations on how well the team played at St. Louis.
Thank you, Paul. It was nice to get a win. We've already moved on to New England now, and we're trying to get focused on doing what we need to do to beat them.
Now, we have plenty about which to chat with the Patriots coming up shortly. I mentioned defensive line coach Andre Patterson is coming up following you. How did the defensive line play as a whole?
I thought they did well. We did a nice job in the running game on our blocks. The things we asked them to do in the game, we did a good job of getting pressure on the quarterback. We got him off his spot a few times. I think we had 5 sacks in the ball game. So those guys are doing a good job. And when they play good, then typically we play good on defense.
And early in the game, I want to call him reserve defensive tackle Tom Johnson. But, I mean, outside of like Harrison Smith and Chad Greenway and maybe a couple others, it's tough to call anybody in your defense a reserve, because you just rotate players in so many different spots, and we're going to talk about that extensively momentarily. But Tom Johnson flashed in the preseason and seems like he had a pretty good game in the St. Louis game.
He did. He did a nice job. He got a sack fumble on one of the rushes that he had. He played the running game very well, and so those are some of the things we've been working on with him. He's a good kid. He gets some pass rush because he's got some slitherness to him, similar to a lot of guys that I've had in my career, and I think the 3 technique position is a good position for him.
There were many good plays in this game when you win 34-6 as you did. There are plenty of things about which we can chat. There's one specific play I'd like to spend a little time on, if you don't mind. It was the Rams' 4th offensive play. It was your first opportunity to go into nickel defense, and there were just so many things in there that, A, we didn't see in the preseason, or kind of caught an outside guy like me off guard. For instance, it was 3rd and 8. They ended up completing a 4-yard pass to their tight end, Jared Cook. It's the one where Everson Griffin was the right defensive end. He tracked the tight end. On that play, let's start here. Anthony Barr was the left defensive end. We saw that occasionally in the preseason, but how is he adapting to playing defensive end?
He's doing well. He's learning really all the things that we're trying to teach the defensive ends in some of these situations, but we're using him in multiple spots, so his learning curve is going to continue to keep growing as we get going.
Secondly, linebacker Gerald Hodges got hurt in the preseason, did not see him much in the preseason. He was a linebacker with Chad Greenway in that nickel defense with Barr playing left defensive end. Your level of trust in Gerald Hodges obviously is pretty high because we didn't see him much in the preseason, and it's early in the game, and there he is.
Well, we have, as you said before, we have different packages with different guys going in there. And it's good for us to continue to play a number of guys just because of the fact that it helps keep guys fresh. It helps keep the offense on their toes and what we're doing. And everybody stays in the ballgame. If they know they have a chance to play during the week when we're preparing, everybody stays on point, and I think it's good for the whole football team.
And with Gerald on that play, he dropped back into a spot where if the tight end, I think, got away from Everson, he was there to help. Blanton was there to help. And Gerald was the guy who eventually made the tackle for just a 4-yard gain, and they had to punt. With Gerald Hodges not playing in the preseason and not playing any defense last year, what do you see in a player like that that indicates to you, this guy fits in these situations and I'm going to use him?
Well, the one thing about Gerald is he's got some physicality to him. He can really run. He's a guy that when he gets into space can make a lot of things, as you've seen on special teams. And so, you know, when we go out there and practice and we put guys in different situations, we try to look at them and try to figure out exactly what, you know, how can this guy help us? Where can we use his athletic ability? And he does have very good athletic ability, and I have a high belief that Gerald will be a good player in the future, too.
Brian Robinson, a rookie here in 2007, he would slide inside a fair amount, specifically on nickel situations and play tackle. Hadn't seen much of that over the last, let's say, season two or three, but on this individual play, the Rams' fourth offensive play, first time in nickel, your defensive line was Barr, Tom Johnson, Robinson, and Everson Griffin. Using Brian inside, what advantage does that give you?
Well, the number one thing is it gives us two extremely fast guys on the outside. We talked to Brian about things that he's done in the past, different ways we can use him. He's a very, very good athlete, so I'm sure that we'll find a lot of things for him to do, not just inside but outside and maybe some other spots as we go down the road.
And to start this play, over which I'm obsessing, it looked like you had a single high safety in Robert Blant. You had 10 on the line total, including Rhodes and Robinson wide. Then to the left of Barr was Harrison Smith. To the right of Griffin was Captain Munnerlyn. They both show blitz. The tailback out of the shotgun, Benny Cunningham, was to the left of the quarterback, and you blitzed from the other side with Harrison Smith. Barr eats up the right tackle. Harrison comes in untouched, and Greenway blitzed and split the left guard and the tailback and was down at the quarterback's feet. So in closing, you had five guys rushing against six, yet two got there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know this is a picture-perfect situation, but that's kind of the controlled chaos, to use an oxymoron, that you preach, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, our whole thing is to try to create confusion for the offense and try to figure out how we can get there each and every week. The thing that was disappointing, we should have had him sacked, and he was able
to throw it early.
Yeah, he got it off, but we probably should have had him sacked. But Chad did a nice job on the back, and obviously Harrison had a chance to clean him up.
Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. This is X's and O's with Mike Zimmer, presented by Xfinity. New England Patriots here Sunday at noon. Pregame on the Vikings Radio Network at 11 on the flagship FM 100.3, The Fan at 10 a.m. When you ran into New England last year, Sunday Night Football, Cincinnati. Tom Brady's 52-game touchdown streak was snapped. He was sacked four times and went 1 of 12 on third down conversion. Now, that was last year. This is this year. But nevertheless, what played into that type of game that he had last year?
Well, I think our guys played great, doing what we asked them to do in the game plan. And we're going to have another similar effort out of our guys this year. And, you know, he's tough to beat. I'm hoping that the crowd does a great job this week. They come in here, they do the no-huddle thing. They come in, and he makes a lot of checks at the line of scrimmage. So our fans helped us a lot when we were in Cincinnati. I'm expecting our fans to be even louder this week when we're playing at home. So it should be a good ball game. But, you know, the challenge that we have with all of their players is going to be really hard.
What happened to them against Miami in the second half?
Well, I think Miami ran the ball well, effectively on them in the second half, and so that helped a lot. And they did a nice job covering and not allowing. I think they had maybe 80 yards in the second half offensively, and so I think both sides of the ball did a nice job.
Bill Belichick, how well do you know Bill, and what's it been like going against him over the years?
You know, honestly, I don't know him very well. I've talked to him on a couple occasions, but obviously I've known him from being a Parcells guy. You know, he's a tremendous football coach. He has a tremendous football program. At some point, would like to emulate some of the things that he's done there, and so I always have the greatest respect for him and the New England Patriots organization.
With New England, Mike, you just get with Tom Brady a quarterback. The casual view is to look at it like they throw the ball a ton. They spread out receivers. They throw it to the tailback, Shane Vereen, and I'm sure they do. How frequently do they run, and how important is the running game to their offense?
Well, the running game sets up a lot of their throws. They're a great play action team. They have one of the best play action games in the league, so they run it enough efficiently to be able to do that. And all of the runs, all their play actions look exactly like the runs. So that makes it difficult. And then Brady does a great job of getting them in different plays and getting the ball out. And he throws the ball so well and in all areas of the field. He can throw it down the field vertically. He can throw it on the sidelines. He can throw it in the middle of the field. So he does a fantastic job. And he knows how to buy time in the pocket.
Last one on the New England Patriots. Darrelle Revis, their new cornerback, very well respected throughout his career. At this stage of his career, of what you saw in the Miami game, what does Darrelle Revis look like at this stage of his career?
Well, he looks very good. You know, he's fitting into their system very, very nice. They've always done a great job with the skies, with their coverages, and he allows them to do a few more things than they've done in the past. He's able to kind of take one side of the field, if you may, but he does a nice job. He's a smart veteran he does a great job in the press, and he's strong at the point of attack.
Your second year receiver, Cordarrelle Patterson, a lot of positives about him. He's big, he's fast, he has a zest for the game, which not everybody has, believe it or not. But finally, with Cordarrelle, is his vision maybe his most underrated quality?
Well, I think Cordarrelle's got really good vision, and he wants to be very, very good. And, you know, that's always a good quality to have. He's very strong when he's got the ball in his hands. Obviously, he's a strong physical runner that as you said, has great vision in those areas. But, I'm hoping that he continues to grow, continues to progress, and becomes the player that we all want him to be, and I'm sure that he wants to be.
A couple of quickies to close here with the head coach, Greg Jennings. His leadership role with your offensive players, is it an underrated facet of your team? Talk about Greg Jennings.
Well, Greg's a guy that's been with some great football teams. He's a smart guy. He understands everything that we're trying to get done. He's very knowledgeable about everything that goes on. And his voice is nice to have in the locker room, be able to help preach the message that we're trying to preach every week.
Thank you, sir. Good luck today. Good luck Sunday, that is.
Thank you.
Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. X's and O's presented by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Defensive line coach Andre Patterson joins us next. On X's and O's, I'm Paul Allen on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back to X's and O's with Mike Zimmer. I'm Paul Allen, inviting you to join me and Paul Charchian Friday morning from 9 until noon at Buffalo Wild Wings at Station 19 on the University of Minnesota campus for a Friday football feast presented by Miller Lite. Get the complete schedule at Vikings.com or on my show page, the Paul Allen show page at KFAN.com. Let's get into the X's and O's of defensive line play, where now we are happy to be joined by Andre Patterson, the defensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings. How you been, Mr. Patterson?
Doing good. How about you?
Good. Congratulations on the first victory. Just kind of as an overview, how did your guys contribute to that first victory?
Well, I think that we got better, and I think that's been my number one focus with this group, is to continue to improve every week. And I really like the way that we handled the running game, and I kept telling the guys on the sideline during the game, just keep rushing, because I knew it was going to cave in as we got into the second half of the football game, and that's exactly what happened. I thought we did a great job of hitting their quarterback and getting him on the ground, so it was a good start for us.
What is the buy-in factor with the guys in your room? And the way I put it that way, because there's such a unique rotation to the defensive line, the entire defense, quite honestly, but specifically the defensive line, that you have to kind of check your egos a little bit before you head into these games.
Well, I think they're all in right now. When I first started talking about it, you know, B-Rob and Griff looked at me like I had 16 heads, you know. And, you know, because before here, you know, guys played, every snap. And I had to get them to understand that the key is to get them to the fourth quarter fresh.
Yeah.
And that's the key, because games are won in this league in the fourth quarter. And it was funny, after the game was over, both B-Rob and Griff pulled me over to the side and they go, Dre, I love this. You know, because in the fourth quarter, they were as fast as they were in the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
And so that's the key. key. And so I rotate him in the first three quarters, and then the fourth quarter is on me. And the fourth quarter, you know, I let him ride in the fourth quarter.
And, Andre, we can extrapolate that from not only the fourth quarter of the first game, but maybe to December football, assuming everybody stays healthy. Stuff like this, the rotation, I would imagine the hope is to keep people super fresh in December.
No, no question. Keep them fresh in December. And if you all of a sudden have an injury, the number two has been on the field playing. And so now, as a coach, I don't go into the game saying, oh, I hope we can win with him on the field. You know, he's been out there. He's been playing. He's been out there in critical situations. And so it just makes our football team better. And I think most importantly, I give him the rotation today. I gave it to him on Tuesday.
Yep.
So it's in their head already. And then now when the game starts, if let's say I'm Wooten. Wooten's not standing there going, when is Dre going to put me in the game?
Yep.
He knows after so many plays I go in. So he prepares so much better during the week because he knows he's going to play.
But how can you possibly know that rotation this early in the week on a Wednesday when you start to get together to get ready for the adversary with practices Wednesday, Thursday, then Friday, chill out and meet on Saturday, then play on Sunday? How do you know what the rotation will look like before you know how the game goes?
Well, because that's the reason why I set the rotation up before the game, because we're all human. So if I say to myself, I'm gonna decide it during the game, well, you get competitive and you keep your good guys out there the whole time if it's a close game.
Yeah, right.
So I learned this the hard way. I got to do it now to make sure that it happens. And so that's why I say, okay, Woot, you're out there for B-Rob after X many plays.
Yep.
And then B-Rob, you're off for X many plays. And then Griff, you go out and so on and so forth. So now the rotation is set. Through the first three quarters of the game, and everybody knows what we're doing. And then when we get to the fourth quarter, I turn to them and say, it's on me. I'm going to tell you when to go.
Yeah.
It's winning time now, you know.
Yeah, so for rookie linebacker Anthony Barr, who instructs him, linebackers coach Adam Zimmer or you as defensive line coach? Because, shoot, on the fourth offensive play by the Rams, their first nickel opportunity, Anthony was the left defensive end.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so Anthony knows there's a package that he's in. And so when that package hits the field, now Anthony knows he's now a defensive end. And so, you know, when he hears that call, he knows he's a defensive end, and one of my guys come out, and then we're ready to go.
And on that play I'm referencing, your two starters, Sharif Floyd and Linval Joseph, were both out of the game. Your defensive tackles on 3rd and 8, where it ended up being a 4-yard game, but they had to punt, were Brian Robinson, right defensive end, along with Tom Johnson, who had a really good preseason. So, again, the rotation took place super early in the game.
No question, and it gives us the ability to put our four fastest guys on the field. And so that's a group where we say we're going to put speed on the field. So whether that's to rush the passer or if they're going to run a screen, you know, we got our 11 fastest guys on the field.
With Anthony Barr playing left defensive end in sub packages, nickel and or dime, how does he handle it from that spot? We see his extreme speed when he stands up as an outside linebacker, specifically when he's running horizontally and running something down, but how is this adjustment for him?
He's been very impressive to me. For him to handle all the things he's got to do to play linebacker and then come down and put his hand in the dirt and do the things that he's doing for me, a defensive end, as a rookie, is just unbelievable to me. And as a rusher, he's still just at the beginning stages of how good he can be, because he has great speed, he's got great bend around the corner, and most importantly, he's powerful. Yeah. So he can run through a guy, too. So by week 16, he's going to be so much better than what he is right now going into week 2.
Tom Johnson, the former Saint free agent acquisition, didn't think much of him in the preseason. It looked like he'd be a rotational guy, like he is, who made the team. But I maybe it's because of the way you and Coach Zimmer do it. He's a lot better than people thought he was going to be. What do you like about him?
No question. I think he might have ended up leading our team in sacks in the preseason. Mm-hmm. Every game he had one. He just has that knack to find a way to get to the quarterback. You know, he's got tremendous quickness and quick twitch for a defensive tackle, and he's got a good feel for where offensive linemen set on him. But he just has a natural feel to put pressure on the quarterback. And so that's a good mix for us, because now it allows us to – several things I can do. I could put him and Sharif out there together and got two quick tackles out there. I could put him and Big Linval out there together, and you got the big man that's pushing the pocket from the middle with that quick quickness outside of him at defensive tackle. So I'm very pleased that we have him on our roster.
You were defensive line coach here for Denny Green in 98 and 99, correct?
Yes.
So when you went to St. Louis last weekend, a little different than that playoff game where you guys went to St. Louis against the greatest show on turf with Jeff George. And by the way, we're leading the game at halftime.
Exactly right.
And then Tony Horn went like 98 yards and then the onslaught began.
No question. It's funny. I was telling the guys, I said, you know, we came here in 98. And the game went down to the wire week two.
Yeah.
And we won the
game. Tony Banks.
Against Tony Banks.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we came back during the second round of the playoffs and we're playing great and we're winning at the half. And just like you said, the, you know, second half kickoff return for a touchdown and a punt return for a touchdown, which turned the game around. But so walking in there, you know, I had memories of both experiences. But, you know, I just think our guys, you know, Coach Zimmer does a great job of keeping the players in the moment. And I think that's the biggest thing, that he kept the players in the moment and their minds on the task at hand. And I think that that's been the biggest thing for our guys. Didn't even think about that we hadn't won a game in a road game and ever how many games it was.
Yeah.
It never even was mentioned last week. I never even heard it until somebody said it after the game was over.
Yeah.
You know, so Coach Zim did a great job of keeping the guys focused on what we have to do to win the game and not look around at all the stuff on the outside.
In 98, you had Hall of Famer John Randall as a defensive tackle. I'm not going to ask you to make any comparisons to players of today, but with this defensive line rotation and the way things are handled in the NFL now, shoot, even back to training camp with no two-a-days, how much different is it from 98 to now, Andre?
It's huge. You know, you have way less practice times with these guys than what you had back then. You know, and I think the other thing that happens that's different is back then, you know, the guys knew that their bodies were going to get beat down. And so they kind of prepared themselves for that. You know, two-a-days now, it's not like that anymore, you know. So as coaches, you have to work on the mental aspect of getting them better as football players more than just, you know, trying to harden their bodies with all the contact.
Last one, about 35 seconds. It's with all due respect to one of the best in the history of the game, Tom Brady. With all due respect, the best way to beat him is to hit him. The Giants showed you that in the Super Bowl. The Dolphins showed it to everybody last week. Is that accurate?
That's accurate. You, the number thing you have to do is you have to affect him. You know, and I was fortunate when I was in Denver. You know, we had beat them 3 games in a row. You know, we beat them twice during the regular season, and then once in the regular season, once in the playoffs. And then the next year, we played them up in New England, and they hadn't lost a game in, I can't remember how many games, and we beat them up there.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing is he has to feel the D-line around him. And that's what my guys have to do. If we're going to win the game, my guys have to show up on Sunday, and they understand that.
Andre, thank you, and good luck this
weekend.
Thanks for having me. Andre Patterson, defensive line coach. I'm Paul Allen. Join host Mike Musman along with Vikings cornerback Captain Munnerlin for Vikings Country Thursday at 6 o'clock at the Sunshine Factory in Plymouth. It's your opportunity to win great prizes, including a trip to the Miller Lite Touchdown in the Tropics in Cancun. Online is Vikings.com/Vikings Country for more information. The producers of this show are Jay Nelson and Eric Nordquist. And for all of us here at Winter Park, I'm Paul Allen. That is X's and O's with Mike Zimmer on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.